the darkness. Yeah. Or lost out at sea.
Yeah.
Even in death, I know you're always with me.
Yeah.
And when I am fearful, oh, I won't be afraid. Your spirit reminds me, your presence remains. The whole world is filled. The whole world is filled. Filled with your glory.
Filled with your glory.
I said my whole life is filled. I feel. Filled with your glory. Filled with your glory. And Lord, I just ask you, America is filled. America is filled. That's not gonna happen unless my whole life is filled. I said my whole life is filled. Filled with your glory. Filled with your glory. Your love is alive. Your love is alive.
Give you all the glory and the honor. Switch gears a little here. Oh, we bless you, O Lord. We bless you, O Lord.
Singing over me.
Till a shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Over you. He's singing over you right now. Come on, I just want us to take a couple moments in his presence. I believe that he is singing over you. He's rejoicing over you. Come on, our worship has his attention. Come on, just for a couple minutes, let's just press into a deeper place. Come on, begin to cry out to him. Begin to pray in the Spirit. We say we're coming after you, Lord. You, Lord. We're running hard after you, Lord. As the deer pants for the water, Lord. Our soul runs hard after you, Lord. Come on, just begin to lift your voice and pray in the Spirit. Begin to sing a song to him. Begin to sing the song out of your innermost being to him this morning. Yes, you begin to sing a love song to him. Come on, he's singing over you. You sing back to him. Let your
saying, behold, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. So God, we bless you this morning. Thank you, Lord, as we have built a throne of praise for you to come and abide. We are so thankful. We are so thankful. We are so thankful, Jesus, that your throne is built on righteousness and justice. Righteousness and justice, O Lord. And we prophesy those things now into the city of Bluefield, that there will be righteousness and justice in this city. Righteousness and justice in this city. Jesus, we prophesy it now. Righteousness and justice. The throne of God resting and abiding in Bluefield. The throne of God resting and abiding in Bluefield. We bless your name, Lord.
We bless you, Lord. I'm going to tell you something while the presence of the Lord is in here. I don't expect it to go. But we did a merge about a year ago with ITL. I want to tell you today that we're doing another merge. Andre's church is becoming part of Father's House International Church. Just take a moment and welcome all the people from Meet Us at the Cross to the family. Come on, welcome them to the family this morning. This morning. He's worthy. He is worthy of your praise. The Lord said a long time ago we'd know it's time to move when people were wall to wall in this place. We're getting close. I think we can still pack a few more in, but we're getting close. But, you know, with Andre and Cassandra and their church joining with us, we have also felt that for some time. Didn't really know when it would happen or what the Lord was saying. But I do know this. They have a piece to the puzzle that was missing. And, you know, Sean said something this morning, but you can feel that in the atmosphere. There's a completeness. And there was something that they bring to the table that we were missing as a body. And when you put that together, not to mention what you're doing in the heavenlies when you bring three churches together, and you tear down racial lines and all that mess in Bluefield. Come on, shout to the Lord in this place. Come on. Come on. We say the wall's coming down. The wall's coming down. Yes. But anyway, they have the outreach piece to the puzzle. I told them every time we have a Saturday where we go to the streets, I have about 30 or more people show up. They are the people to command that charge. They know how to get that done. And we sat down, and the Lord gave them a specific vision over 20 years ago. And when they brought it to me and we sat down and began to talk about it, and I began to talk, it was the same thing. See, it's a thing where we begin to be governmental in this city, where we teach parenting classes. We teach people to fill out job resumes. We take drug addicts and show them how to return back to a life of being normal and get jobs. Hey, I've been saying that for years. It's all in the vision that they already have. So this completes something that the Lord wants to do in our city. So we just want to welcome them this morning. We're excited about what God's doing. He's awesome. Well, I want to give you a chance to sow. I won't be shy about telling you this morning, I want all your money. No, I want you to prepare your tithes, and I want you to give extra. I don't want to take up a separate offering. But Bishop Jackson has given to us a whole lot this weekend. Friday night, all day Saturday. He's already preached once this morning at 9 a.m. to the men. So all I can say to you, I want your regular tithe as you normally do, but I need the best offering you can possibly give. So we want to bless him. He is a father to me and a father to this house. So I want you to sow. The anointing you sow into is the anointing you can expect to receive. So, Father, I just thank you right now that you speak to people supernaturally, that they hear the voice of the Lord, that they don't just sow something, but they sow what you tell them to sow so that we can bless the awesome man of God. We thank you, Lord, that we lend and we don't borrow. We thank you, Lord, for paved parking lots and more buildings. We thank you, Lord, for owning the whole square in Brush Fork, the Save-A-Lot building and the rest of it. We say, give it to us in Jesus' name, all of it. Get Father's house square and make them have to put it on the map that when you do a GPS, it says Father's house square. We believe you can do that, Lord. And we ask you to do it right now, Lord. And we bless you for it. Go ahead, you can pass those. Well, if the children would come forward, please. Lord, have mercy. We had a lot of children last week. Looks like we got a lot this week. We're getting ready to make a change in children's ministry where we release these guys into the ministry they're called to, so that they're the ones doing the prophesying and the praying and all that. That's something we're getting ready to do. So we need your prayer about that. Father, we thank you for the righteous generation that you're raising up in the earth. We thank you for the seed of deliverance that's in this earth. We thank you, Lord, that deliverers are coming out of this generation. Deliverers are coming out of this generation. We thank you, Lord, for Josephs being in this group. We thank you, Lord, for apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers being raised up from this group. And Lord, we just pray that their eyes would be open to see, their ears would be open to hear, that they would begin to hear the voice of the Lord, that they would begin to see into the spirit realm, that they would be the generation that brings a righteous revolution in this earth. Cause them to be raised up to have, we say, a righteous revolution in the grade schools, in the middle schools and the high schools of Bluefield. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to set the schools on fire. Let revival break out, God, in the schools of Mercer and Tazewell. Nashville County, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. That's good. I think I'm going to take up another offering. Oh, go, I'm sorry. I just got distracted. Y'all can be dismissed. Hallelujah. Listen, you are in for a blessing this morning. Is there anybody in here that's believing God for anything? Would you raise your hand? Well, see, I've already snooped, and I know something about today's message, and I've lived it. But if you believe in God for something, you need to put on your spiritual ears, because you're going to, I believe, receive a word of revelation today to help you go to another level. I just want to say I'm honored to have Bishop Larry Jackson today. He has come here when there was 10 people. More than once. And it's pretty nice to have him come and see people. But he is a true servant of the Lord, and what he teaches, he lives. And I will tell you this, I'll say first of all publicly, I repent to him for not honoring, giving him the place of honor that he deserves in my life. I'll tell you this, there's nobody who's influenced my life anymore. Amen. Even the way I teach, the way things go, no one has impacted my life anymore than this man. And there are stories I could tell you that even when I think back, I'm like, boy, I'm not there yet. I've seen this man do things that you know, I'm like, I got a ways to go. Even after this time, I got a ways to go. This is a man of honor and humility and a true father and a servant to the body of Christ and to mankind. So I just honor him as the father that he is, and I just want you to welcome Bishop Larry Jackson.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you so much. Please be seated as all. Give it to him. Amen. He's worthy. As we mentioned there real quick, man of God, don't go too far.
Get ready to go wipe your tears away.
I'm good. Basically, as Pastor mentioned, I am the apostle, if you will, over this house. Amen. We sent them, but reluctantly kicked them out. I ain't mind losing Doyle, but Tony, Jesus Lord. No, I ain't want to lose. And she was a part of my worship team and all that good stuff, but. I wasn't here when the transition happened with the Boons, and so today, while Pastor was talking and we were celebrating, just heard the Lord really clear say, you need to lay hands on them. Amen. And so we're going to lay hands on you two and you two at the same time, and so that you will have the anointing of the Fellowship of International Churches. Yes. From Wellington Boone all the way down, so that you didn't just join in, you get the anointing that comes with it. Amen. Amen. So will you please, you come on real quick, you two real quick, and come on, man of God, I need y'all too, so we can pray over them. Just sit there with your spouses and praise God, glory to God. I want you guys just to stretch your hands towards them again. Come on, let's make this fresh and new today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you so very much for this man and woman of God. Well, I have to stop. I have to stop. Crystal, look in my bag right there, in the very front of it. Open it up and get me one of those vials of oil. No, in the suitcase. In my briefcase. Very front of it. So what has happened is there's a miracle that has taken place in Georgia. That has taken place in Georgia, and what has happened is There was a man of God that left a revival. I'm giving you the very short version. Went home, put his Bible on his table, and when he came back to it, oil was secreting out of the Bible. The Bible got so saturated that they had to put it in a baggie, and it filled up the baggie. Then it filled up a small container. Then it filled up a bucket. And so now it has filled up 5 or 6 5-gallon buckets of oil. The Bible keeps secreting oil. What I'm going to anoint them with is oil from that Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're gonna anoint them with some of that oil. Man of God, come on. Woman of God, come on here, get some of this. Come on. Amen and amen. Glory to God. So Father, just like the miracle of this oil from this Bible, we ask for a miracle to take place in the lives of this man and woman of God. We declare now the blessings of heaven over their lives. Lord, we say now they have increased greater than they could ever imagine in their entire walk. Lord, their joining together have made them strong. You said that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Lord, we know that you were talking about yourself being with that, but Lord, we got threefold here. Hallelujah. And we're thanking you for the uniqueness and the distinctiveness that you're bringing as a result right now, the Boons being a part of this house. Man of God, hallelujah. More and more doors shall open unto you. Hallelujah. You shall be platformed in a way that you even never thought you would be platformed. Hallelujah. Prepare yourself. Write the books. Get the things ready so that they might know who you are and be ready for you when you come. Not only that, God says he's bringing even more resources. He's releasing resources. And where it has been tough and hard. And even the days where you almost gave up, God was preparing you for this time right here. And so I pray now for the anointing of the living God. That anointing that abides on the inside. Rise up, man and woman of God. Lead a generation into the face of God like never before. I'm calling your army into being in Jesus' name. Mighty warriors who will stand, hallelujah, and will not draw back in Jesus' name. I bless you now. So let the anointing of the Fellowship of International Churches under the auspices of Wellington Boone, the father and prelate of this ministry, all of that anointing, all of that grace, flow down now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Man and woman of God, I lay my hands on you. For this day, God has been he's been preparing you for. Even before the foundation of the world. I bless you. I know your hearts. I know your heart towards the Lord and the things of God. I know your labor, God says. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord said to me instantly, though you have been small, God has never seen you small. God has seen you as mighty warriors. And he's placed in your hands the ability to increase the generation.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And where we have lost as it is, true evangelists. Hallelujah. God says, not only will you have an outreach mindset, but you shall even be able to fill stadiums.
Oh, yes.
With evangelism, with messages of evangelism. mantles have been dropped in this earth that God is placing upon you even now. So that you can break up the fallow ground. Hallelujah. And bring forth that that's supposed to be brought forth in the earth in this hour. And you shall have the tongue of the ready writer in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's going to put that in you and on you now in Jesus' name. I pray over your bodies that you're healed and healthy. And there is no infirmity in your life in the name of Jesus. And God is calling you now to long life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You are blessed with the blessings of the Lord. Now there is an anointing of the three. Not an anointing of the one nor the two, but an anointing of the three. Receive the anointing, and that anointing that comes from the Fellowship of International Churches, even under the anointing of Bishop Wellington Boone, the prelate of this ministry, let that grace and that mercy, that awesome ability to teach the Word of God, be upon you now in Jesus' name. So God, I now seal this union in the Father's house. Yes. Hallelujah. A union that you knew would happen way before we had any idea that it would happen. Now, Lord, explode this ministry. In Jesus' name, we're declaring now, God, hallelujah, this is clear, this is precise. We know our past, we will not bump over one another. There is no need. We will be together in perfect unity in Jesus' name, and we shall grow together like none have ever seen, now and forever. People of God, can you give him praise? Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Come on, give him praise. My brother. Love you. My brother. My brother.
Love you.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that's good stuff right there. Hallelujah. Put my oil away for somebody to come in and try to steal it. This oil is absolutely so potent that it leaks through the container of glass. That's crazy. They have tested this to try to figure out what is it made of, and no one can figure out what it is. There is nothing on the earth they say that this is. They cannot determine what is in it because it came directly from heaven. My. This is good stuff right here. Amen. Glory to God. I have one for you, and I have one for you. My brother, I know it. I got you. I knew I had to bring y'all. So I knew what was happening. So I got y'all. So you can keep on anointing the peoples. Amen. Are you ready to really increase?
Come on.
No, y'all ain't ready. I said, are you ready to really increase? What if I could promise you that before this service end, I can help you to get to every place in your life you want to. Would you be willing to stay around and get that?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go there. If you would go to Hebrews chapter 4 really quick. Go to Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. The Bible reads like this. It says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, if I could take you, I would, and I didn't prep them, and I won't go through all of that. in on the website blueletterbible.org. If you put in Hebrews chapter 4, what you will find out, if you hit twos on verse 1, you will find out that it would read phobio. And the word phobio, we get our word phobia from. It only has one fear in this verse, but actually in the original Greek, it tells you to fear twice. It says fear, therefore fear, actually, lest a promise being left you. God is so serious about this, he said you should be absolutely afraid of me if you're not resting. You didn't hear me so far. Can I have some tissue underneath your foot right there, woman of God? Just underneath your feet. Thank you so much. He says that you should absolutely fear him if you're not resting. Now, God wants you in to rest. The problem is we won't live in rest. Even God wants us in rest, we won't live in rest. We love worry. We love anxiety and troubles and confusion more than we love to rest. God says a rest has been left to you. And he says you should fear if you're not entering into it. Now, why did he say that? The example I give a lot of times, as a matter of fact, my wife says to you guys, hello, God bless you, and you know, she loves you and all that. She couldn't make it because we take care of her mother, but not only that, she said, if I let my wife come to this church, and you've seen her, she's very fashionable, okay? But if my wife came to this church and she was, and if you can't do any better, you can't do any better. But if she came to this church and she was homely looking, shoes run down, you know, dress all tattered and all of that kind of stuff. And I came in an Armani suit, Brioni tie, you know, gaiters on with my gaiters and. Yeah, and I'm shopping in woodpecker lips. So I'm shopping in woodpecker lips, and my wife looks homely and all of that. But and you'll probably say, now, why don't Bishop Jackson take his wife better? Why she looks homely while he looked like he just walked out of the GQ magazine? Come on, right? Why is her shoes messed up and he got on gaiters? Come on. Now, if no men will say it, women would be thinking it if they don't say it. Come on, is that right? But in her closet at home, it is every name brand you can find. It is the best of the best shoes. It's everything you could want. But she choose not to wear it. She choose to wear the old stuff and look homely. Even though I done purchased and bought all this stuff, it seems like I don't take care of her. It's not that I don't take care of her, but it appears that I don't take care of her. God said, if it's you make him look bad, by making it look like he can't take care of you. He said, you better be afraid. Because you are giving me a bad reputation.
Yes.
It's not about your life. It's about how you make me look. Why? Because you're saying in your confusion, in your anxiety, in your worry, that you don't have a God that can handle it. Are you with me? And God says, I provided everything you need. And in providing everything you need, you should be living in the way I provided it, not in the way you're living. Yes. I'm already in front of you. But no, y'all doing that same thing again. So I did find out for y'all that weren't here this weekend, this is West Virginia, amen. Okay. Praise God for the amens, the head bobs. At least I'm getting the head bob. Now watch verse 2. It says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." It said, "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed in faith, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." This is interesting because he's now talking about the nation of Israel. He's talking about them being in the wilderness. He's talking about that God came to them and brought them word, but they never ever trusted God. Now listen to what I'm about to tell you. This is very important. Miracles do not get you to make you trust God.
Come on.
You can get miracle after miracle after miracle and still never trust God. Israel is what? Delivered out of the hands of the greatest nation on their planet at the time. Under an amazing military, without a military, they're delivered out of their hands. They're not only that, they are now up against a sea. Are y'all not here with me? They're up against a sea, and they got to get across the sea, and here comes this mighty army bearing down on their neck. They said, "Look, we made a mistake. We're going to take you back home." Come on. No, you know, I heard somebody say it one time. It says it wasn't so much of a miracle them getting across the Red Sea, because the Red Sea doesn't come about like 2 feet or so at certain times of the year. At certain times of the year, it's only like 2 feet, you know, because and all that kind of stuff. And so it wasn't a great miracle for them to go over. I said, look, that ain't the miracle. The miracle is that God drowned an army in 2 feet of water. That's the miracle. You want to see the miracle? That's the miracle, man. My God. Man always got something, don't he?
That's right.
Trying to minimize what God is doing.
That's right.
No, they go over on dry land.
That's right.
Come on. Not only did they go over dry land, they got a pillar of cloud by day, they got a pillar of fire by night. Come on, keeping them warm at night in a cold desert.
Yeah.
Come on, I've been in Arizona when it got cold. It don't feel good. And it's amazing. You when it gets cold in Arizona, you go, "Wait a minute, aren't I in the desert? This doesn't make sense."
Yeah.
But when it gets cold in the desert, it is cold.
Yeah.
It is really cold. It is the contrast of the heat. But in the daytime, the heat is 120 global. Glory to God. In the shade. I have friends in Arizona. I said, "If you invite me in August, I'm telling me that you're trying to break our friendship." That's it right there. Don't invite me to come preach in August. I'm not coming to your church in August. Jesus God. Too hot. So as a result of this, now they're on the other side. They now eating manna. Come on, all this stuff is happening. They're eating manna. This is angel food. They're just dropping out of the sky in the morning.
Yeah.
They're being provided for. Their clothes don't wear out. The soles of their feet never wears out.
Amen.
And they still never trust God. They never come to the place that they trust God. Never. All that miracles, all that. And we see the same stuff in our own life. God show up when he needs to show up, do a miracle in our life, and we still want more.
Yes. Come on.
We ask him, "God, what you going to do next? God, I need more. Give me this. Give me that." And God said, I've done everything you need. And you still won't rest. You still won't trust. He said, "You should fear me." He said, I don't forget that. Ooh. And the Bible says we've neglected so great a salvation in chapter 2 of Hebrews. Neglected a great salvation. So why didn't they trust him? He said it wasn't mixed with faith. The word wasn't mixed with faith. So you can hear the word preach every week, and you don't have it mixed with faith, and you won't move in God. You're trying to do it by works. Let me keep reading, since y'all not going to have no fun yet. Watch this. For we which have what? Believe, do what? I can hear you. Wow, he said, so those of us who have believed, we have entered into rest. So you now connect what? Rest with faith. Rest and faith go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Once you acquire and once you come into faith, you now can rest. Once you rest, you're in faith. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Wow. So no wonder most of the body of Christ isn't functioning in faith, because they're not at rest.
Come on.
And no wonder they're not at rest, because they don't have no faith. But they that who those of us who believe do enter into the rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished before the foundation of the world. He's saying there is nothing more that you can do. Now let me tell you how I got here, and I'm gonna stop right there for a moment and tell you how I got here. The way I got here is God has been taking us on an amazing journey in our church in over God 6 months. Maybe even a year, but he's been taking us on this journey. He took us on this journey so that we could understand that there was more than 7 days. That there was an eighth day. And we said, oh my God, it's an eighth day. Yes, it's an eighth day. See, what you find in the book of Genesis is you find 7 days. Hello?
Yeah.
And on the seventh day, God did rest from all his work. Matter of fact, this chapter is going to tell you that. He rested from all of his work. Is that right? But what you also find in those first 6 days is that says that the morning and the evening was the first day. The morning and the evening is the second day. And he goes on and he goes on until he gets to the seventh day. And he never says the morning and the evening is the seventh day. He says, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, for in it that he did rest. And I said, God, you never closed the seventh day. He said, no, you wouldn't, because man was going to always live in the seventh day. Man was going to forever live in the rest, because if you close the day, you must bring forth a new day. Are you with me? Man was going to just live in this rest of the Lord, because there was no reason for him to do anything but live in the rest. So we were going to live in the rest all of our entire existence with God, because he rested in it. We're going to rest with him. Everything was done. It was over. Everything we needed was there. It was this rest. But Genesis chapter 3 happened. Genesis chapter 3 happened, and they sinned, disobeyed God. They contaminated the day of rest. When they contaminated the day of rest by entering sin into it, and work shows up in it, because God tells them that he has to work now. Are y'all with me so far?
Yeah.
I'm going fast because I got to take you somewhere. And so at that point, that day had to end. There was no longer you could live in that day, yet God says, I want you to always acknowledge it. I want it to be law to you that you acknowledge the seventh day. But all along the time, from right after they sinned, he started dealing with an eighth day. He started dealing with the number eight, because there were eight souls that were saved. Are you with me? There were eight souls saved. Why eight, God? And God says, now I want you to circumcise your children on the eighth day. What is that about? Because, wait a minute, the seventh day is the day of rest. Why are you doing this on the eighth day? Then you got the Feast of Tabernacles. You not only have the seventh day rest in the Feast of Tabernacles, but you have an eighth day rest in the Feast of Tabernacles. What are you doing, God? What is all this? David is the eighth son of Jesse, not the seventh son of Jesse. He's the eighth son of Jesse. What are you doing with all of this eight stuff, God? What is this all about? I'm pointing to something. So in order for the seventh day to now allow the eighth day to come, you got to close it out. Well, God never comes back and say, well, the evening and the morning, hello, is the seventh day, so that you can enter into the next day. So when did he close it? And we come to find out that when Jesus says, I can't get no help from you. Come on. When he says it is finished, he's not just telling you that he's finished his earthly work. He's saying the evening and the morning. Are y'all not helping me? Because come on, when did he die? In the afternoon. So he said in the evening, in the morning is the seventh day. Matter of fact, you know this really well around here. There is no crowing of the rooster until there's a new day. Come on somebody. And there was a rooster that crowed. Crowed three times to let you know that a new day was dawning. Hello. In the night that he was dying, get ready to go through his suffering, there was a rooster that crowed. Glory to God. He's dawning. He said, a new day's coming. Jesus is saying, come on, the evening and the morning is the seventh day. So a new day opened. While he is on the cross and saying, it is finished, in the temple something is going on. Y'all ain't hearing me. The earth shake, and what happens? That the veil is rent from what? The top to the bottom. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 that the Holy Ghost, while the veil is yet up, he said the Holy Ghost is this, thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. But because the veil is rent from the top to the bottom, knowing it's God, he's now saying that the way into the holiest of all has now been made manifest. Why? A new day has dawned.
Amen.
A new day has dawned. Jesus is the eighth day. So that why? Listen. So that's therefore when the Bible declares, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's not talking about your chronological days. It's not talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's talking about the day the Lord has made. He's talking about the eighth day is a new day that has dawned. You are to rejoice. You are to be glad in the eighth day. Are you going to hear me?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So when you're living in that day, you're supposed to be living in rest. You're supposed to be living in faith. You're supposed to be living in abundance. All of that's supposed to be in this new day. You see, because we're living in a day that most people are not living in. They're still stuck in the seventh.
Yes.
They're stuck in the seventh. And there's a lot of church people still in the seventh.
Yes. Yes.
Even though they've been born into the eighth. Yes. Therefore, if any man be in Christ the eighth day, he's a new creature. Come on. Old things are. Behold. All things have become. All things have become new. Not all. No, why is it not all? Not old. He needs that old bad things passed away. All things passed away. Everything you were, everything you knew, all of that is gone, so that everything can become new. You with me so far?
Yes.
Yeah.
See, it blew me away. See that book back there, Knowing God by the Numbers. It blew me away when I found out years ago when God told me to have a celebration on August 8th, 2008. It blew me away when I found out that Jesus was the triple new beginnings. That his name in Greek is 888.
Yes. Yes.
That just blows me away. And that every name associated with Jesus is a multiple of eight.
Yes.
Lord, Jesus, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, all multiples of eight. Why? Because he's the new beginnings. It's all in the book. Come on, are you with me?
Yes.
So God says, I want you to live in this day. You need to know how to dwell in the eighth day. Well, the eighth day don't have nothing in it but rest. There is no work in it. But we've just been working, trying to make our way, trying to do Christianity when we're just supposed to rest in Christianity.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Let me ask you this question. Will you go pay the light bill when it's already paid? If I go pay your light bill, will you go pay the same bill? That don't make sense, does it? Then why are we paying the same bill? He says, although the works were finished before the foundation, from the foundation of the world, you don't need to do anything because I've done all the work. Just enter into what I've done. Y'all ain't here yet. Man, I'm preaching better than you responding. Are you sure you're getting this? Okay, so I'm about to, because I got to give you that foundation, because I'm about to take you on. Matter of fact, you got to be this high to ride on this ride. Are you gonna make it? Are you gonna make it? You gonna get okay? Okay, I'm making sure. You tiptoe if you okay. High heels. That's right. Now watch. This is really important. What I'm about to tell you. This is the whole foundation of everything I'm going to tell you. When I tell you what I'm about... Yeah, okay, thank you. So, I just had a conversation, but... When I tell you what I'm about to tell you, it's going to change everything you've ever learned, but it's going to make everything you've learned clear. Is that okay? And from this point in this message where I'm going, because I'm not going to keep you a long time, from this point in this message, you will know how to function in faith if you've never known how to function in it before. How many of you in this room ever struggled in faith? Come on, hear me. Look at these hands. My Lord. See, you will never struggle in faith again. Would you like to give him praise for that before I even tell you? I will prep what I'm about to tell you with telling you this. I have young people in my church after I share what I'm about to share. Young people, matter of fact, and I read Pastor Doyle up here, I read my daughter, they hadn't seen a text from one of my young people that was just blown away, and all of a sudden seeing this stuff happen in her life as a result of understanding how to function in faith. And they said to me, I never knew how to do this. I never knew how to get to faith. I heard people talk about faith, but I never known how to get there. It's one thing to talk about faith, and another thing to preach about faith, and another thing to live in faith.
Yes.
And the reason why you know you're living in faith, you're at rest. If you're not at rest, you're not in faith. And so I'm meditating. God tends to wake me up early in the morning. I don't know why, but I get up early anyway, but he'll wake me up before it's time for me to get up and start talking to me like I'm supposed to be up. He does it. At 3 o'clock in the morning, here you go with a conversation. And I know I can't go back to sleep. I might as well get up. Or as David says, have a night watch. Just sit there and allow, and don't try to go back to sleep, but just talk to the Lord a while, you see. And my wife is laying there, she's calling hogs, and I'm just trying to I'm trying to get right to sleep. She deep in sleep, man. I'm thinking, Lord, come on, Lord, wake her up sometime, right? And he says to me one morning, you are telling them how they should be living in the eighth day. He says, but they're not living in it because they don't know how to get to the to rest. And I went, oh my God, that is so true, Lord. He says, and they can't get to rest because they can't get to faith. And he says, do you know what faith is? Now, immediately, because we're going to go over there and look at it, I can definitely give you the definition of faith, because I can run to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to go over there and look at it. I can definitely run there. I can give you that, God. I got this. I got the answer to this quiz. And he says, no, you know how to tell me where it is in the Bible, but do you know what it is? Are you living in faith? Jesus asked an amazing question for all of us, and all of us got a Bible, and we all into the Bible, and we think we're in faith. Jesus asked an amazing question. He said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Why would he ask that question? Why would he ask if I would find faith on the earth? Why would he ask, will I find people praying? Will I find people worshiping, as I told you, as important that is? Will I find people that is sacrificing their life? He asked none of that. Will I find faith? And I said, okay, God, help me. What is faith? And he says, oh, you know. See, that gets me. That's the stuff that gets me. If you ask me and you tell me I already know, and I know I don't know, but he says, you already know what it is. I've already showed you what it is. And I went, you sure have. I got it. I understand. And before I can tell you what faith is, I got to tell you what reality is. And the reason why I got to tell you what reality is, because most of you live there, and that's why you can't rest. Reality is an experience that has an emotion attached to it.
Come on. Did
you hear what I just told you?
Yes.
Reality is experience that have an emotion attached to it. Once an emotion is attached to an experience, you're in reality. Everybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I see the bobbing heads all over the place. I see that, so there must be amen. Come on. So if you need money, and you get emotionally attached to the fact that you're broke, you're in reality. The reality of the matter is, I don't have no money. Why? Because I'm emotionally attached to it. Are you here with me? Anything that I get emotionally attached to brings me into a reality. And the reason why I can't move you is because you're emotionally attached to it. I'm letting you meditate right now. I'm sea-lawing you. I want you to think about all those areas in your life where reality exists. So let me help you with that, because I'm getting ready to tell you what faith is in a moment. So Jesus says to this young man, this man comes, rich young ruler comes up to him and says, "Hey, good master." He said, "Why call this out me good? None is good but God. None." He said, "What should I do that I might obtain eternal life?" He says, just do the commandments. He said, "Which one?" He says, I want you to do all. I want you to honor your mother and your father. I want you to, come on, I want you to not commit adultery." He goes through the 10, don't he?
Yeah.
And the rich young ruler was great. He says, "I've done all of that from my youth." He said, "I've done all that." So basically, let's change him from a Jew to a Christian. He says, "I've been a good Christian."
That's right.
He said, "I've been a little bitty one. I've done everything they told me to do at church. I've done it just like they told me to do it. I'm a giver. I'm all of that. I honor my mother, my father. They love me. I serve. I do all of that." And so the original ruler says, "What? So where do I lack?" He shouldn't have asked that question. That was not a good question to ask. He should have left it alone and went on about his business feeling good about himself. He shouldn't have asked no more questions and said, "No, I'm finished with this. Praise God. Bye." He said, "But where do I lack?" He says, "Oh, you got one more. You got one thing in there, one area you lack in." He said, "Well, I want you to go and sell everything you own. And I want you to give everything you own to the poor. And I want you to come and follow me so you can have eternal riches in heaven." And the Bible says the rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he was a man of great possessions. That wasn't the issue. He was attached emotionally to his stuff. So his life was being lived in reality rather than faith.
Good teachers.
And wherever you are emotionally attached is reality for you, and you're not in the right place. Are y'all tracking?
Yeah.
I'm still sea-lawing you. I'm trying to make sure you understand this, because I want you to meditate with me right here, because reality is the place that's hindering your life. God got you saved and took you out of reality. So let's change the word world to reality. You are in, but you're not of. Oh. And you will talk to somebody, and you'll be talking to them about things that you believe in God for, and they'll say, "Kid, real. Get real. Get real. Come on, you got to come back to reality. And hell wants you to live in reality because you can't beat hell in reality. As long as you're in reality, you're in unbelief. Reality equals unbelief. Are you sure y'all getting this so far? Because I'm not where I'm going, but I'm taking my time right here because I don't want to run through here, think you got it, and then go and come back and you're still living the same way. Right. You have to come outside of reality and live in another place. Now let me tell you why you live in reality. Because everything that you have ever have dealt with is in that realm. You were born in that realm. And everything in that realm makes sense to you, but nothing outside of it does. So that's the way you've been living. And so it's hard for you to break your mind free, so your soul doesn't want to live outside of reality. It want to touch it and feel it. Paul says, handle not, touch not, taste not. What? What you mean, handle not, touch not, taste not? Everything you just told me is in my reality. He says, get out of it. Handle or not, taste not, touch not. And we said, no, I got to feel it. I got to touch it. I need it. I need to know that it's real. When the person gets attached to the other person emotionally, can you break them free from that person? Come on, talk to me. When they get attached to another person emotionally, can you get them free from that person? No, because there's all their reality connected to that thing. All their visions of that is connected to that because of their emotions. I don't care if I do tell you the girl, she ain't no good for you, he ain't no good for you. You can't hear that she ain't no good for you, he ain't no good. Why? Because you emotionally attached, and now it becomes a part of your reality, and I can't change your reality. I really can't. God can't either. Why? Okay, I'm getting ready to tell you. Y'all good? Okay, good. I just want to get y'all, because y'all looking at me with them looks that, like, you know, deer in the headlight. Come on, you got to be with me. So watch this now. Watch this. God had to get Israel. He could not deliver Israel until Israel had broke the emotional bond with Egypt. And so God took the straw. Yes. It wasn't Pharaoh that took the straw. It was God that took the straw. Because in taking the straw, it would break the emotional bond. Amen. See, God can't deliver you from your friends. He can only deliver you from your enemies. And until Israel became their enemy, he couldn't move in to help them. We know that they were friends with Israel. Egypt, how do we know? Because once they were in the wilderness, what did they say? Oh, y'all got to talk to me. What did they say? Their emotional bond came back to them and said, look, we're going back to where we were in bondage. And somebody said, wait, don't you know you were in bondage there? I don't care. It was better there than being out here. They wanted to go back to their reality. Because you can't deliver nobody if they're emotionally attached. I don't care what you're emotionally attached to. Jesus says this. Jesus said, it's amazing. Jesus said to us, he says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, this is an amazing thing. It used to bother me. Now I understand it. But he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You will either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. And wait a minute. I said, wait a minute, Jesus, hold up. Bro! Y'all don't talk to the Lord like that or nothing, y'all. Y'all scared, right? You say, no, man, I can't say that to Jesus, man. Not only do I say something, I ask him questions, like hard questions, too. Like he can't answer them. He answered every one of them. It's amazing.
Man, he sure does.
But I said, wait a minute, Jesus, what are you talking about? You just compared money to God. You actually made them equal. He said, you can't serve God and money. He made them equal. You either love one and hate the other, hate one and hate love the other. He made them equal. How are you going to make money and God equal? Because it's where your emotions are attached.
Yes.
If your money is, if you're emotionally attached to money, it became your God.
Yes. Come on, make it point.
If you're emotionally attached to God, money is nothing.
Yes. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
So where are we emotionally attached? To God or money?
Come on.
So if money, watch this. So if you are moved by getting money or the lack of money, then money is your control. So somebody give you $100,000 and you get really excited? If you lose $100,000, you get really sad? You love money. Because money shouldn't move you at all. If you receive it or you lose it, no moving. Why? I'm attached to God. Oh, you ain't helping me. Your reality is attached in the money rather than in God. Jesus says, have faith in God, not in money.
Amen.
No resource. God got them all. Oh, come on.
Yes.
It's amazing how we will say God can take care of me, but don't believe it. We don't really believe that he can take care of me. That's just Christian talk. Because we're so in reality, we know God can't change it. We even ask him, can you change this?
Yes.
And then come and says, fill me with your glory. What are you going to fill you with your glory for? You ain't going to do nothing with it. Y'all good so far?
Yes.
You now know what reality is.
Yes.
Now let me help you with what faith is. It's interesting too, by the way, before I tell you what faith is again. It's interesting that everything in the kingdom is opposite than anything that's in reality. It's very interesting to me that, watch, I must live, I must die to live. I must give to get.
Yes.
Come on. And my way up is to go down. Oh, wait a minute. Everything is opposite?
Yes.
Everything is up. Nothing is like what? Really? So then, in order to understand faith, I need to get emotional about a thing so that my experience can attach to my emotions.
Hallelujah.
Now, you didn't hear what I just told you.
Yeah.
What's reality? Experience? Emotions attached to experience. Faith is emotions that experience get attached to. Faith is emotions that experience get attached to. You must get emotional about it before you ever see it. When you get emotional about it before you ever see it, you're now in faith. Y'all not here with me yet? So last weekend, let me give you an example of this. So last weekend, went and took my daughter to buy a new car. She went and got a new car. She just finished law school. She got a clerkship with a judge, which that's pretty serious. Fifth district. She's a little brainiac-y. She's the baby. She's a spoiled one. All the sisters take care of her, plus her, myself and my wife. We all take care of her. We live for her, actually. The whole family live for her. We know this. This has already been proven. We just do what she said. And she expect no less. And she said, that's what I pray for. I'm just telling you what she says. This is her mouth. I'm just... So I take her so we can get a car. We get her a car. I leave her at the place because I knew it was already done. So she gets the car, and I call her on the phone. And it's candy apple red. She's styling and profiling. So I call. I said, Carmen, is that Daddy? I said, how you feel right now? She said, Dad, I'm so excited, Daddy. This is awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I said, good. I said, you deserve it, girl. You've done a good job. I'm really happy for you. Even though I got to pay the bill. I'm so happy for you. I'm really so happy for you. I said, oh, God, I'm really happy for you, girl. So I hang up the phone, and the Lord said these words to me. If Carmen could have manifested that level of excitement before now, she could have had the car before now. The excitement she felt in reality. Okay. Are y'all not here with me? Because the car plus the emotions equaled reality. Y'all gotta hear me. So she was excited in reality, but she could have had the car by faith long before she got there if she could have had that level of excitement. And I went, oh my goodness, that's so true. Because the scripture came up. Go to Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Go to Hebrews 11, chapter verse 1. Come on, let's go. Come on, real quick. I got a whole lot to tell you. I'm trying to get through some of it before I go all the way home to Charlotte. I got to get home. Now faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things. Where was the emotions? Before. Faith was before I could see anything. So I've got to be excited about it just like I got it.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
When I can get the emotions and excitement that I got it,
yes.
It's done.
Yes.
There is no more striving. There is no more anything going on. I rest. I rest. Why? It's a done deal.
Yes.
Where is it done? Inside of me. I already know it's done.
Yes.
Why? Because I've got emotions about it. Now the evidence of it will come so that now the experience attacks of my emotions.
Yes.
I don't wait to see the thing. I see the thing inside of me. I'm like going into a hissy fit because I see, oh, I got it. My goodness, I got it. Oh, the money's already there. God bless. Oh, my Lord. Thank you. See, let me tell you something. The Bible says, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How am I going to give thanks before I ever get this thing? Thanks has to do with somebody responding to receiving something.
Yeah.
Come on. So if he gives me something, I say, thank you, bro. Wait a minute. Why am I thanking God before I get it? Because I got it. He said, let your request be made known with thanksgiving. You got to be saying, thank you, God, because it's already done. Thank you, God. Watch. And he's not telling you to try to work something up. Your only work is to get into the rest. The Bible says down here in this chapter, in chapter 4, it says labor to enter into the rest. So my fight is to get out of reality. Every time reality comes up, I gotta fight past it. When the thing come up, you know this is the problem. I don't have that problem. I'm not even looking at that problem. I'm not letting that be the problem. I'm not putting my mind on you. What? I can't allow myself to think about you, because that's reality. And if I let that reality come, emotions will attach to it and I can't get out of it. But I'm not letting you do that. So the Bible says, though Abraham was 99 years old, come on, he considered not the deadness of his own body, nor Sarah's womb that was dead. He said he considered not. Consider not. You have to have a consider not in order to live in faith. Because if you consider it at all, it becomes reality.
Yes.
You can't consider it. There's no consideration here. I'm giving no consideration to what's going on here.
That's right. Amen.
You say, but that's not real. You're right. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. That's why I want you to live. I want you to live in the not real. So you can make it real. Therefore, the Bible says that God calls those things that are not as though. God, then you can say to God, God, you don't live in reality. Nope.
Right.
But where I live is more real than where you live.
Yes, it is.
Far more real than the reality that you have. Come on. Your reality is stagnant. My reality is ever continual. I can forever create out of my place. You can't ever create out of your place. Your place is ended. You have to use something that's here to create something new. I can create something that has never been existed before. Oh man, come on. Every person who, come on, let me go into for a second. If you are a writer, if you've ever written a book, you watch this. You write the book way before you put it on paper.
That's right.
The book has to be written inside of you before you can write it. The song has to be written and produced on the inside of you before you can start doing the song. You gotta know the song inside. Come on. Come on. The house got to be built. The house is built on the inside of you. The house isn't built yet. And then you come and lay it down on paper and you call it a blueprint. It still ain't built yet. You're taking what's on the inside of you, putting on paper so people can see it, and then you go build it. That's why the Bible said that the world is wiser than the church. Because the world functions that way. Somebody that's a developer go past a wilderness in the area and go, man, that's houses and shopping center and
that's right.
And we just see trees. But inside of them they see everything else. So they're trying to function in my world, not being in my world. And I'm in the world and I'm out of the world. I know I'm talking to somebody.
Amen.
And so you have to watch. You can't fake this. Back in the day, they used to tell us we couldn't fake the funk. They don't know nothing about that. You can't fake it. You have to. You can't just hear what I'm saying and think that you're gonna walk out here and all of a sudden you're gonna do this. You gotta comprehend and you gotta win this place, because everything in your soul will tell you no. Everything in your soul will tell you no. My husband ain't gonna change. My wife ain't gonna ever be this way. My wife ain't gonna ever do right.
Come on.
And until you, and look, you don't even need to deal with the spouse. All you got to do is comprehend it and get to the emotions of it inside. Then my God, this is a great man of God.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I can't even hardly take it how good he is to me. And I begin to speak it over my soul, and all of a sudden it becomes a part of my life. Why? Because my emotions have already brought something into existence, and all of a sudden I see what I was believing for and go, yes, that's what I was looking for right there. And it doesn't make any long, it make any difference how long it takes. I'm resting. Come on, it can take a minute, it can take a day, it can take a week, it can take whatever. I don't care, I'm resting. Why? I've already apprehended it on the inside of me. Come on, are you with me? My God, I'm telling you, everything that you have ever desired in life is already yours. He said, I will give you the desires of your heart. He says, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received it. Somebody got to get happy right there. He said, what? And then you shall what? You shall have it. The habit is after believing I receive it and I got excited about it. Oh my goodness, I got it. If you had been here, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would have never died. He says, look, can you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Can you believe that while your brother's lying in that tomb, he shall yet live? Because Jesus never got caught up in the reality. It's 4 days and stinking, man. He's been in there 4 days and he stinketh. Jesus never even he won't worry about that. That was never an issue. The tomb was never an issue. The tomb was, what was in him was the issue. He said, can you believe that? I'm the resurrection and the life. So when I speak to him, he's going to come. See the time element? Are y'all with me so far?
Yes.
And what time? How long I got, bro? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. See, you see the time element? What does it say? I can't hear you. What does it say? I need to get some Christians in the room. I see Mormons here. Okay. And Mormons don't talk to you. Can I get some Christians in the room? What does that word say? Thank you, Jesus. That gives you the time element. God is telling you, because see, guess what? Listen to this close. You don't need that word for that sentence.
That's right.
That word can come off of that, and it's proper. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I do not need that word on there. He put that word on there so you could understand when it was going to happen. At the moment you get to faith.
Come on. Hallelujah.
So I got a couple more scriptures I want to show you. Man, and see, we got a pool in our church, and every once in a while it gets so tight in there, I want to go jump in the pool. I want to jump in the pool with my suit on. Yeah, we got a hissy fit. Get a hissy fit, because I don't know if you feel the anointing in the room. The anointing is in the room to break your unbelief.
Come on.
There's anointing in the room for you to start realizing what you've been hoping for.
Yes.
So, I want you, see, don't say now. Don't say now. I want you to just do the next four words. And I want you to do, this is going to be interesting, because I want you to stand to your feet and do the next four words. Come on, I want you to stand to your feet. Come on, hold on. I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to get your soul. I want you to get your soul to understand what's about to happen. And when your soul get this, happy going to hit your feet. Yeah, I got that thing. I got to watch that thing. That thing keep moving. It keep moving up. Yeah, it does. Watch this. I want you to get this, and we're going to do it. Watch this. I want you to listen to me go. Watch this. Now faith is substance. Faith is the substance. Say it. Faith
is the substance.
Say it again. Come on.
Faith is the substance.
You ain't there yet.
Faith is the substance.
You got to believe it.
Faith is the substance.
Come on, you got to believe it. Faith is the substance. Come on. Faith is the substance. Come on. Faith is
the substance.
One more time.
Faith is the substance.
Listen, so that means substance isn't substance. That means substance isn't substance. What's substance?
Faith
is the substance. You've been looking at the substance, thinking it is a substance, when it ain't the real substance. Faith is the substance. And if you don't know faith is a substance, you will start thinking something else is a substance. Not knowing faith is a substance. Faith is a substance. My God, faith is a substance. You can be seated.
Yes, Jesus.
The other thing is, I could skip hope for and all that stuff. I understand what it is. I could also say faith is the evidence. Not only is it the substance, it's the evidence. That's why Fred Price said, evidence, evidence, do you understand? Okay, that's what that was about. Faith is not only the substance, faith is also the evidence. And here you've been looking at your life thinking that you have something and you don't have the real thing. Because once I get to faith, I get to rest. I have no worries, no anxiety. I know God's going to do it.
Thank you, Lord.
I know God's going to do it. I don't have to worry about it. I know God's going to do it. All I got to do is get to faith. Because once I get to faith, I got substance. Whatever I need substance in, I got substance. I got substance. I told a young lady, she's one of the young ladies in my church, they know her, seen her when she was a little girl, but she's been growing up real big now, and she's in the music industry. She's singing in school, and she's won a competition, headed to Las Vegas to compete in a competition. And I said to her, Tiffany, don't go to that competition to win it. Win the competition before you go to it. Don't you dare go to that competition to try to win it. That's too late. That's reality. No, win that competition before you ever get there. I said, get you a picture of where you're going to perform at. Get it in your mind. See yourself standing on that stage. And perform yourself like you're going to perform yourself. And get excited about the fact that they're bringing you the first place trophy. Say, yes! I got the trophy! See how you're going to feel. Come on, feel how you're going to feel to call your mother and tell her you won. Feel how you're going to feel when you're going to call me and tell me, Bishop, I won! I really won! Feel how you're going to feel when you stand before the church and we celebrate the fact that you won the trophy. Feel it. Get it!
Yeah.
And then just make it, and then just go there and let the experience match your excitement. Because when you go to the event, you already know it. When you go to the event, you got it. They're saying, this is a done deal. I love playing golf. When I can get out, I get out and play golf as much as I can. And there's an interesting thing about playing golf, that if you're not a golfer, you don't know anything about. Is that you don't just go out and hit balls. I know it looked like that. I know it looked like all they're doing are just hitting the ball around the yard, right? You know, just, you know. No, it's a whole lot more to it than that. I've got to, before I hit the shot, I've got to see how I want the shot to go. If I don't visualize the shot before it goes, then I'm going to hit something that I don't want to hit. And most people that, you know, as a Christian, I usually have to take a sinner with me to play so they can curse for me when I hit the wrong shot. I call them a DC, a designated cursor. I said, bro, say something. Say me something. Say something for me. I don't know what that was, bro. Say something. So, but if you got to know how you're going to shape the shot. You got to know all of it. You got to do all of that. And that's visualization. And you got to already be, and what you will hear if you ever look at golf, but you probably won't if you don't like it, but you will go, the commentator says, you know, he's trying to see what kind of shot. He's going to hit a fade. And watch this. He's not hitting over the ball. He's just swinging practice swings. He says, yeah, he's going to hit a fade. You know, he's trying to be committed to the shot. The commitment to the shot is the excitement about the shot that I've already hit the shot, seen the shot, know where it's going to land before I ever get over the ball to hit the shot. Amen. See, and again, that's the world being smarter than we. We just hit the shot. Yeah. Not visualizing where it's supposed to be and take whatever happens. So that we can live this reality. God's not calling us to do that. Same thing with bowling. Bowling is the same way. With bowling, you're not all of you that don't know how to bowl, you're just rolling a ball. Yeah. Come on. And most of them go in the gutter. you know the little dots on it? You know the little arrows on there? It is for a reason. You're looking at the arrow to see where you're going to line up. And based on what kind of ball you roll. Do you roll a curve? Come on, do you roll a straight ball? Do you roll a straight ball that got a little curve at the end? You got to know what kind of, but you got to see that happening. And so the reason why they look like they sneaking up on you, come on, look like they sneaking up on it. You know, you rolling, you just... You halfway down the lane with the ball. And you go, one, I got one, I got one. And they're like, Lord help them, Jesus. That ain't bowling, man. But true bowlers, if you look at the bowling, they're sneaking. They seem like they're sneaking up on it because they're trying to see what they're seeing. And they don't bring their head up until they've let the ball go. It's the same thing with golf. If you look up before you hit the ball, you're going to hit a bad shot. You have to stay down. You already know what shot you're going to hit. When you look up, you should be seeing what you were hitting after. It's the same way with God. You can stay humble and stay down because why? When I look up, I'm going to see what I already prayed for. I'm going to see what I've already believed for. I don't have to move out of my place. I don't have to be in anxiety to hurry up and see it. It's going to happen by I've already experienced it. Yes. God, wow, man. Yes. Are y'all sure you're getting this?
Yes.
So one last thing. One last thing. You know what? Let's go over. Woo! Let's go over to Matthew. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 17 and I'll close. Have you learned anything?
Yes.
Do you know what faith is?
Yes.
Glory to God. How many of y'all already working on it? You're working on something in your spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Come on, already working on trying to emotionally tie yourself to it right now. Don't you be waiting to get out of here to do it. Already start that process. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Now watch this. In chapter 17 of Matthew's gospel, verse 14, it says, when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft time he falleth into the fire and oft time into the water. And I brought him unto thy disciples, and they what? I can't hear you. What's that word? They could not do what?
Cure
him. Now you got to understand, these men had already been sent out and cure people. These men had gone out two by two, had cast out demons, had healed people of sickness and everything, had already done this. Now this guy come with this lunatic boy, and we find out how serious he is with this disease, because when Jesus shows up, what happens? He falls down and starts foaming. In the other version, he starts foaming at the mouth. And Jesus never ever deals with him. Jesus starts talking to the father and says, so how long has this been happening to him? You know when you go to the emergency room and you're real sick, and they take you to the window and they're going to ask you all these questions and you're almost dead? You know what I'm saying? You say, Lord, just take me in the back. Just take me in the back. What's your name? I don't know. I'm too sick to know my name. Come on, come on. When were you born? Do you have insurance? Glory to God. Are you an alien? No, I'm not that. Just get me in the back. And then they do all their questions. Then they tell you, go sit over there. I'm done. That's what Jesus did to the father. He never really paid attention to what was going on with the boy. The boy is wallowing in foaming at the mouth. It got to be making noises. And Jesus never deals with it. He says, how long has this been doing? You've been doing this stuff. He's getting questions. He's questioning. He never gets into reality where the situation is. He never comes into the place where they are dealing. The disciples did. And you can't cure anybody if you're in their reality.
That's right.
You know why? Because they own the thing. You have to go into the place where they're not. And Jesus says, you know, all things are possible to who? To them that... Wait a minute. Lord, you know, you say some things sometimes, Jesus, that don't even fit our mindset. You said, how many things are possible? Wait a minute, how could all things be possible and I don't have all things? Right. All things are possible to them that believe. That's pretty strong. Not some things. I love the Father's response, and you should love it too. And the reason why we should love the Father's response is because that's where we are. Many times in our life, that's where we are. I believe. See, you wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't. But in the midst of your believing, you still have unbelief. He says, I believe, Lord. Help thou my unbelief. Basically, he says, help me to get out of this reality. Because see, I've been seeing this in this boy his whole life. And everything we've done to try to cure him haven't worked. And instantly the boy is healed because of somebody didn't get into reality. There's a woman sitting at home by herself one day. She's sitting at home by herself. How do you know she's by herself? Because the law says she is. And she gets this understanding that this Jesus man is going to be passing by, and she says, look, wait a minute now. I've had this issue of blood for 12 years. I've spent every dime I have. I've gone to every professional doctor, specialist that they could send me to. And I'm still getting worse. I'm about ready to die. My husband can't be around me, nor can any children be around me, because the law said they can't be near me. I'm separated from people for 12 years. I can't be in the community because I can't be, if I'm out there, I'm stoned to death. I can't have any friends. I can't go around anybody. But I hear that this Jesus guy is going to be out there. Now, what's her reality? The reality that I ain't nothing work. She pushed past that reality to get to faith. You got to push past your reality. You got to push past, I've been broke my whole life. I've been sick a long time. I don't know how I'm going to make it. nothing has gone well for me in my whole life. You got to push past all of that foolishness. Attach your emotion to the place you want to be to experience what you want to experience. Once you do that, now faith is substance. Father, I pray for your body right now. And I'm praying, God, that they heard me. And I'm praying that they got it and that they're going to live in it now. That is not a message, far more than a message. God, it is something that's going to change their reality so that they can live in a new place. I bless you for it, God. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, woman of God.
Can you turn my mic? Is my mic on? Yeah. Okay. Now you see why we said this morning God was going to be washing us with the water of the Word. Amen. Was it an amazing word? Do you feel like you've been changed? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have some gifts that I want to give out if I don't break something first. First, I would like to thank Bishop for coming.
Oh, praise God.
We love you.
My wife will get all that. Thank you, sweetie.
And Crystal, I'd like for you to come up here, baby. Serving with her daddy and always has been, and just an amazing woman of God. And I got to sit and talk with her the other night and just hear her heart. And we just want to thank you for coming and serving your daddy and just say love you. And my final gift, I would like for Miss Charisse to come up because she has helped put this whole thing together. And let's honor the woman of God who has worked so hard in this house to put it together. She is my sister and she is my friend, and I love her so very much. And she's a weeping willow like me. She's crying. Both love coffee so much. All I need today is a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. Thank you so much for being with me. Now I'm just going to dismiss us in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, God, that you have washed us with the water of your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that revelation has come to us today, God, that you have spoken to our hearts and we are forever changed. We are forever changed. We can never enter into your presence, oh God, that we are not changed. So I just speak a blessing over this people, Lord, and I just say thank you, God, and what an honor it is to come and stand in the house of the Lord and to serve and to love in your house, oh God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.